Good morning. We had an amazing week. Amazing week. Is the sign still here? This is incredible. I just love this theme this week. Take courage. So we'll just start with reading the Bible here. Leviticus 10, and Hebrews 4. Okay. Leviticus 10, Hebrews 4. It's been such a privilege to be here. This is such an awesome place. Do you know how blessed you are? I mean, do you know? Don't be familiar with this. This is amazing. Okay, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. So the setting here is the newly constructed tabernacle, right? The newly constructed tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, the tent of the holy place, the Holy of Holies, the veil, right? And then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane, or the King James says, strange fire before the Lord, which God had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron, the father of Nadab and Abihu, he held his peace. Then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near, carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. That's the old covenant. Hebrews chapter 4. Are you ready for the new covenant? I find it here. And this is actually why this letter is being written to these Hebrew Christians. They're saved. They're believers in Jesus. But they are feeling very insecure. And they're going back to the temple service. They're going back. They're tempted to go back because the temple was still there. Now look at this, Hebrews 4. Let's start in verse 13. "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Just Just pray, Father, I pray that you bless this message. Encourage our hearts greatly this morning, Lord. You're God of mercy. You're God of grace. You're God of love. But also, you are God of holiness, justice, wrath. And I pray, God, that you would make it very clear to us this morning the glory of this new covenant that we have been given. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know how many of you heard the Pastor Christian spoke kind of an amazing, very fresh message about the genealogies in Genesis yesterday. And I had been reading and looking at some of those names. So in Genesis 4 and Genesis 5, we have the same name, two different men, the name Enoch. The son of Cain, if you remember, Genesis chapter 4, Cain had a son, he named him Enoch. And the name Enoch means dedicated unto. It actually literally means like to be constrained, narrowed, like for a purpose. Dedicated. Your purpose, Enoch, is for a purpose that his father, Cain, determined. And what was it? We heard from the message yesterday. It was to live independent of God. Dedicated to go and build a city. Cain built a city, and it was dedicated to make my own way. And here's my son. He is dedicated to live and thrive and prosper without God. But in Genesis 5, I think fifth from Adam, we have another Enoch. He's dedicated. His life is not just for anything he wants, but he is dedicated to walk with God. He's dedicated unto the Lord, narrowed down, constrained. Enoch, this is your purpose. We need God. We need God. So this is an amazing thing for us to realize. This theme, take courage. We could take it one way or another, right? If the word of in the world is, hey, take courage, believe in yourself, right? Be bold, be yourself. God isn't there. Hey, we can do this. We can do this. What was it a few years ago? Like Boston Strong. Or, you know, I mean, like as you just repeat, like throughout in the world, we hear like these words, take courage. But in what? Take courage in what? But we learn in the scriptures. And this is our theme. We're taking courage. Take courage. Don't be afraid to have your life constrained into this very, very narrow road, this very narrow place, dedicated wholly and completely unto the Lord. Take courage. Like, don't be afraid of that. Don't fear that. This story in Leviticus 10, these two priests, they were not careful about the holiness of God. They went in and they presumed and they brought their own fire. They brought their own worship into the very presence of God. And the wrath of God shot out from the Holy of Holies and killed them on the spot. But that wasn't the end of it. Moses said to Aaron, you may not weep. You may not mourn, lest you die also, and this wrath goes on into all the people. God is holy. And it's very interesting. We have a very similar thing in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira. What happened? They lied to the Holy Spirit. Boom. They're dead. And the fear of the Lord came upon all the assembly. A holy fear of God. Don't take courage in your own way, in your own, you know, your own thinking, in your own plans, and then think you can bring it into like fellowship with God. No, this fellowship with God is actually very narrowly constrained to as God has determined. So we're not taking courage in our own provision. We're not taking courage in our own way, in our own thoughts, in our own plans, in our own lies. Beware. We fear God. Like there is this holy fear of God. And it is so awesome. We hear the word of God and we let the word of God. The verse, I didn't read it in 4:12, the word of God is sharp and powerful and piercing and dividing and judging and cleansing. But that same word brings us into fellowship with the holy God through Jesus Christ. And now the message is, take courage. Take great courage, great boldness. Don't fear God anymore. You are accepted. You are completely welcomed. The veil is rent. The veil is removed. Come. When? In your time of need. In your time of weakness. In your time of not knowing. In your time of confusion. In your time of failure. So I just have a few points here. I want to just to make this very practical for us, right? Be bold about using 1 John 1:9. Take courage to use 1 John 1:9. Do you know what that verse says? Don't be shy to use it. Use it every single time that the flesh arises. 1 John 1:9. When we sin, what do? Confess it. Just confess it. Confess. Agree with God. That was sin. Oh, Lord, there was my flesh coming out again. But you go back to Romans 7. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. That's your flesh. You are the new creation. So to return back to fellowship with God in the new creation, 1 John 1:9. Don't be shy to use that. Rebound. Quickly. Quickly. Amen? Like, be bold to use 1 John 1. Who said that? I am. That's good. I am. Like, what is the solution for sin? It's not to defeat it in our flesh. Try harder. What is it? It's 1 John 1:9. We agree with God. And then He is faithful and just to cleanse us and to forgive us of all unrighteousness. That's it. It's so simple. Don't be shy. Just take courage every single day. How many times it takes? Let's have a contest. Who can use 1 John 1:9 the most today? Right? Jerry, how many you got? A lot. Okay, that's good. You got me beat already. Yes. Okay. Second. Take courage. Don't be afraid to give God your whole heart. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart. The whole thing. Don't be afraid. Love God with your whole heart. Take courage. Surrender the whole heart to him. Leave nothing back. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Like he's worthy of it. He's worthy of your whole heart, your whole treasure, your whole value system, everything. Number three. This is actually kind of two in one. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. Take courage. Preach the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Preach the gospel. Speak the gospel. Minister the gospel. Right? Take courage. Don't be afraid. These are words of life, and there is no other salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Minister the gospel. Speak the gospel. And then number two is the next verse, verse 17. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. Take courage. Walk by faith. Live by faith. Don't live by sight. Be courageous in faith. Believe God. Take God at his word. All right? Take courage. Believe God. Live by faith. You are one that is living their life today, living by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and we're walking by faith according to what God says. And the righteousness of God is revealed through our lives into this world. It's amazing. Next one. This is the last one. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Take courage and be a minister. You are sufficient. God makes you able to be a minister of Christ, to lay your life down for one another. Don't be afraid. Yes, I know, it's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient to serve one another, to lay our lives down for one another. But don't be afraid. This, God is glorified there. Husbands, minister to your wives. Be a minister of Christ to your wife. Wives, minister to your husband. Minister to your children. Minister to the body of Christ. Every joint supplies. Everyone knit together. Don't be afraid. Take great courage. This is where the abundance of our life is found, in ministering and loving and laying our lives down for one another. And God is glorified, so glorified. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Amen.
Yes, okay. Instead of strange fire, what was a strange fire? The sons of Aaron offered up common strange fire. It looks like in the scripture those sons might have been drunk, that they were drinking. So when they went to serve God, they're inebriated, they're drunk. It looks like that in chapter 10, verse 7. And God is saying, no, you cannot come to me that way. You cannot come to me that way. I am a holy God. You have to come to me the right way. So you and I mess up. Okay, turn to your neighbor and just say that to your neighbor right now. You and I mess up. We do. We mess up. All right. What happened to the sons of Aaron? What did God do to them? What? They died. So what hope do we have? Listen to me. And he said it so well. Christ came, and he was not drunk. Christ was holy, obedient, submitted. He honored his Father. And what happened to Christ? Christ died and was raised by the Father, ascended up to a throne, and he has authority. What do you have? You come boldly to Christ. Christ has accepted us. Our life is a new life. We are accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted by God. There's two men. There is the guy that's not serving right and he dies. And then there's Christ who serves and it's accepted. He's accepted. Therefore, we are accepted. We come boldly to God and saying, here I am, here I am. I hate to re-preach the message, but I have to say something about it because it's so good. That was such a good message. Be get used to coming to God in the name of another. Come in the name of another. Get used to coming to God in the name of Christ. Illustration. Jacob is stealing his birthright, and Jacob said, Jacob was stealing his birthright from his father, Isaac. Give me the blessing. Isaac says, who are you? My name is Esau. I am Esau. You're not Esau. I am Esau. I am Esau. Come closer. I want to smell you. I want to touch you, because his dad was blind. So he had the fake hairy arms. And the voice, he said, I am Esau. I am Esau. Let me feel your arms. Oh, you are Esau. What do you want? I want you to bless me. The father blessed him. He goes out, I got the blessing. I'm actually Jacob, right? Did I get the names right? Yeah, I'm actually Jacob, but I got the blessing. I got the blessing. I've been blessed. I've been blessed. The real Esau comes in and says, Father, give me the blessing. I already gave it away, and I cannot reverse it. I already gave it away. I cannot reverse it. Do you know what that means? You've got to get used to coming to God in the name of another. I don't say, God says, who are you, Tom? I don't say Tom Schaller. Follow the story with me. I am Tom Schaller. It's like I could burn you up in a second. You're an unholy man. You're a sinful man. You're unaccepted to me. But instead I say, Father, bless me. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. I come in his name. I am promised by you that I have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I come by faith. I come in your name. I come in the name of Jesus. Get used to coming to God boldly in the name of another. You got it? Yeah, get used to living another life. Get bold. He said it. Come boldly. Get used to confessing your sin and say, God, I have sinned, Tom. I have sinned. Your blood has wash my sin away. I come in your name. For the same thing, 7 times, 70 times in a day. So that was a very good message. And let's pray for the offering right now. Would you give online? The folks online, give all your money to us. If you want to, that's your decision. If you want to, we will take it. Give it to God first. And then bless us with your money. We just went through a great week. We spent a lot of money to make all this happen. And we just need all the support we can get. And God bless you online and then here in the auditorium. And thank you, Lord, for this offering. It's yours. It's yours. It's all yours. And thank you for blessing us through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. So, It's easy to come to a convention and hear all the great messages, have all the great fellowship with all the good people you want to be with. And it's another thing to go with something or without something. So I started working on myself, cross-examining myself. And this is how I started. Genesis chapter 41. How did a 17-year-old boy who was the most hated among his brothers, who got thrown in the well, and then they decided, no, we can't just let him get right there. We can get a few bucks out of him. And they got him out, sold him for something. And then he got in trouble, and he went to jail, and he came out of jail, and then he became the second man in command. How in the world did that happen? What did he do? What am I missing here? What did he have that I don't have? What is it that, what is about him that he will come from the lowest point of his life to the highest point anybody could ever expect? What am I missing here? What does he have that I don't have and that I need to leave this convention with? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. Another example. Another teenage boy. This time, a bread delivery boy. Goes to deliver food. And then he pierces through the line of the army. And he sees himself standing in front of the most notorious career gorilla or killer. And he didn't even stop there. He didn't even keep quiet. He opened his mouth in verse 45. And there says to that man, "You come against us today with your sword and with your arrow. But this army right here comes against you today in the name of the living God." Am I getting anything wrong? What does he have that I don't have? That I need to leave here with? That will be a hallmark in my life. That will turn my whole life around. That will make me to be a good follower of Christ. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. She calls together all the Jews. "I need you to pray along with me for 3 days and 3 nights. No eating, no drinking. And I will go back and tell all of my Midians to also do the same with me." And she goes, "If I perish, I perish. And then I will go in unto the king, and I will put before him my petition." She had nothing to lose. She could have stayed right in there as a queen and have everything she wanted to her disposal. Any of us can live anywhere in the world, anyhow we want to live. But what am I getting wrong? What am I missing here? What does she have that I don't have? And that I need to leave this convention with and be a different believer and walk with God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel was fully aware of all of the politically correct people that were behind him and watching him to see what he's going to do in this case. Daniel goes into his house. He opens the window wide. And everybody is looking at him. And he faces Jerusalem and boldly pray to the living God. And they see him doing it. Am I getting something wrong here? What did he have that I don't have and that I need to better my walk with God? Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. John chapter 6, verse 16. And Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus is walking on water. He's approaching the disciples. Disciples are freaking out. Because in their history, no normal human being walks on water. Only ghosts can walk on water. And ghosts wasn't a good thing. So they're freaking out. They're crying. They're screaming. Not even because of the wave, but because of the object that is coming towards them. Jesus comes to them and he says three things that I don't ever want to forget. He says to them, be of good cheer, number one. Number two, he says, it is I. Number three, he says, be not afraid. These statements are repeated in all of the above scripture references we've just given. During COVID-19 shutdown in Liberia, it was fear that destroyed a lot of preachers and their churches. But this is what you as a local church here has been able to empower us to do. So what we decided to do, people in the community who don't like the church, who hated us because we are at the church every day from Sunday to Sunday, call the police on us. They are meeting again. Every time they did it, the police came late when we had gone. This time, it was the final meeting we had so that we can split the church into the groups of 20s, 30s, 25s, and direct them where to go Sunday morning, and we would drive to them with the gospel. By the time the police truck came, we had finished our meeting. They had their instructions. They've gone with it. Sunday mornings, what we did was we mounted the gasoline generator on our pickup truck, and we put the PA system in the car, and we cranked the generator and blasted gospel music all around town. And we went to one area, and the congregation was there waiting for us. And we preached God's word. We went to another area. Our congregation was there waiting. We preached God's word just like that. And it was even better than meeting in one location because it's just one preaching, but this time it was a couple of preachings. When the shutdown came to an end, and when the government told those who shut their churches down to reopen, because we didn't shut down, this is what happened as a result. Can we get the picture of the church there, please, if it's possible? It was amazing. We could not get any seat. That's the Bible college class, the church. It was amazing. We couldn't get seat to seat all the people who came. That's the ordination, the church. We couldn't get seat for everybody who came. So, what did we do? They came, and a guy came to our church service, and I asked him with his family he came, and I said, do you have a picture there of the church in the chapel? No? Okay. So, graduation. This is just what we did, and we did not have a seat for people. We had to put our own people out. So I asked the guy, I said, because I knew he came from another church, and I know the guy very well, and I know the church he's from. So I asked him, I said, what happened? Churches have opened. Why didn't you go to your church today? He said, I've been following you all through this lockdown for more than 1 year. And I want to be in a church that never closes. Where do you think we got it from? Everywhere on social media, this door was opened. That's where we got it from. But we know that the church is not only about the saved. The church is not only about the saved ones. This is the reason we keep our doors open. And every time we keep our doors open, strange things happen. Strange people walk in. And God does an amazing work on them, and they turn around to be gems in the future for Christ. That's why the church door needs to be open. Yes. So that is what happened the first time we ever opened and to celebrate our continuation, which will copy from you as a local church. And one of you came to celebrate with us. That's him right there. So what we did was we broke even our Bible college into groups of 10s and 13s and 15s. And then we rented different rooms in different parts of the town. And we drove there Nicodemusly and taught Bible college. And we did not miss any time on Bible college. So that was our recent Bible college picture you just saw there. We never closed down because of you. Because you never shut down. It is fear that destroys some men of God and some of their churches. It is total fear that destroys them. And we do not entertain fear in this ministry. Because times have come and gone, and we are still here. And I am pretty sure that when some of us aren't here anymore, this church will still be here. This church will still be here. We got 1,784, according to whatever number they get, whatever name that has. Pastors quitting every 30 days. Every time I come, statistics, every time we come here, I look around for all of the great pastors we have here, and the number is still the same. Even if they were crawled to come here to do it, hats off to you, Pastor Cheryl. Thank you. Yeah. Fear is destroying men of God and their churches around the world today. And the man who fears suffering is already suffering from the things he fears the most. That's Job chapter 3, verse 25. A man who fears to suffer, his suffering has already begun. He is already suffering from the things that he fears the most. My friends, if people are going to believe, if people are going to become, if people are going to belong, it starts with a church that never closes its door. It starts with a courageous church. And what kind of church is that? A church is not an audience to be entertained. A church is an army to be prepared for war. This is just what you are here. And we thank you for doing just that. Every time we turn our internet on, something is going on here. Some kind of devotion. Some kind of thing. So sometimes when we are burned out, guess what? In our staff meeting and in our Bible college classes, we ginger ourselves with some of these devotions. And thank you for being here. A church. It's a living place. It's a place of life. My last word will go to you as the local church here. A church, as a church, when God blesses you, I am just so thankful that when he blessed you so much with such a great leadership here, with such a great pastor here who is after God's heart, you did not raise your standard of living. Thank you for your simplicity. But you raised your standard of giving. You raised your standard of fellowship. You raised your standard of prayer. You raised the standard in different ways that supported these men to do what they do to keep us going forward all around the world. And I want to thank you for being such a church. God bless this church. God bless the great country of America. Thank you.